welcome to the Chunda Living Podcast. It is late summer 2016. My name is Charlie, and I'm seated in South Chengdu with two interesting guests today. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Well, my name is Harry. I'm from Northern Ireland, and I like to make films.
Excellent. That's right, yeah, and I'm Devin. I'm from Rhode Island in the United States, and I work with Harry on making films, among doing some other stuff here.
Excellent. So you guys together are Toast City Productions, is that right?
Yeah, well, at the minute, that's kind of my game. Mm-hmm. And then Devin, at the minute, we've been working under that, but we've a lot of intention to maybe make our own, you know. I'm crap at talking.
We can call it, yeah, Toast City. Toast City is kind of Harry's, like, his production label, I guess, that he's had for a while, his video name. And yeah, we've been working together on that. We might do something different in the future, but call it that for now.
Great. Yeah. So we actually, Chunda Living has shared a couple of your videos before in the past. And one was about e-bikes in China. Mm-hmm. One was about tea house culture in Chengdu. But I think your most recent one, which is called Chengdu Underground Vibes, is definitely the most watched video that you guys have made. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I don't know. The Electric Revolution one got quite a lot too. But this one, I think, is a lot better and getting viewed for the, you know, better reasons. So I think on the UQ there's about 8,000 at the minute, which isn't too bad for a couple of weeks or whatever it's been. So
yeah, I think this one got viewed a lot quicker by a lot of people, and we definitely got a lot more feedback on this video. Yeah. A lot more positive feedback. We got very mixed feedback on the e-bike one.
I've had a lot of people ask me about this video and make comments to me in general. So my feeling is that a lot of people have seen it. So I'm assuming that a lot of people who are listening to this have seen the video. But for people who haven't, how would you guys describe it? What is the Chengdu Underground Vibes video?
Well, I would say it's kind of a snapshot of right now in the last few years, sort of the underground music and also just kind of like the party and going out scene in Chengdu, which for both of us and most people here is really one of the coolest aspects of Chengdu. It's really a unique aspect of Chengdu, and that's what we wanted to capture.
So that's a really great subject that you guys went upon, because unlike e-bikes or tea house culture, this strikes me as a topic which not a lot of other people have ever really touched on. And most of the, you know, people who I've been working with or you know, kind of around in nightlife as a DJ for a long time in Chengdu are featured in this video. And it kind of feels like the music scene in Chengdu has been kind of insular, you know? It's like a lot of people outside Chengdu in Beijing or Shanghai or wherever might talk about some things which are happening in Chengdu, but there's not kind of one place where you can go online or otherwise to learn about, you know, who is doing what here and how it works and what is happening. So it kind of feels like you guys are the first ones maybe to like really document it objectively. You guys are not like, Devin, you're a musician.
Yeah, but very, very different style. I play guitar and
right.
Sing
so
pop
guitarist
songs.
And singer, right? Yeah. So, but you're not, you know, promoters who have an agenda to promote. You're not DJs who are trying to like big yourselves up. This is purely kind of an objective thing, right? What led you guys to this subject?
Basically, we're just looking for cool things to film around the city, and then, you know, there's a lot of times you go to clubs and stuff, and maybe don't actually realize the, you know, the work that goes into it or the DJs behind it. So we wanted to, you know, put a face to that and show, like, you know, the different people from different countries actually coming together and doing something pretty awesome, you know, and it's actually quite a unique scene, which, yeah, as you say, is like pretty untouched. Nobody's really talked about it. And even me, I went to the club the other night and was so much more aware of what DJ was playing and, you know, who was on. And I enjoyed it a lot better, you know, for me personally. So yeah, like just trying to show that kind of underground vibe of it, you know.
Yeah, I would also say, like Harry mentioned, the international aspect was really cool to me. I mean, just as an American coming here, in the underground scene, you have people from so many different countries, including China, but from all over the world that are involved in the underground scene in different areas. And I'm sure we'll talk about Dojo in a little bit, but when I first came to Chengdu, my first week here, I went to a party at Dojo, and that kind of made me realize, like, wow, Chengdu is a cool city. Like, I'd lived in other cities in China before, and I hadn't seen anything like that kind of anywhere, not even back in the States. And like I said, most people that come to Chengdu stay here for any amount of time, they'll tell you, like, the party scene, the going out scene, it's not only cool, it's unique. It's very different from Shanghai and Beijing, a lot less commercial, and still really fun.
You could really feel the international you know, composition of the scene here through the Underground Vibes video, especially since you guys kind of made it a point to point out, you know, where all these people are from. And I always think that's really cool. And that's also one of my favorite things, I think, about Chengdu, is how diverse the international community is here. I feel like if I was in my home city, I wouldn't be hanging out with people from, you know, Kazakhstan and Morocco
or
and like
Northern Ireland.
Yeah, or Northern Ireland. I mean, that's
might
that's,
hang out with you.
Sure. So that's a really exciting part of the scene here, and it's great that you guys were able to highlight that.
Yeah, there's somebody on YouTube wrote to me and said that we didn't actually include enough of like local people, like Chengdu people, which I actually thought, you know, we wanted to kind of give both sides of it, you know. So it was a little bit miffed about that. I was like, you know, I thought we did. But maybe next time, you know, in hindsight, we could maybe try and reach out to more local people doing different things in different areas or different scenes, you know.
Well, you pretty much had one person from each country, kind of, right?
That was their plan.
And
you
then
know,
three or four people, Cavaldo, Luna, Wu.
Yeah, and also Ellen. Yeah, so we had four people from Chengdu.
Right.
Yeah. At least, yeah. And I would say, I mean, at least at this point right now, like the underground scene, it's definitely like foreigners kind of brought it here in a way.
Definitely.
And Chinese people are getting more involved, which is a part of the video we tried to highlight. We might have even left some of that out, but it was definitely like brought here by foreigners. So there's a big foreign influence. And I just think it's cool to see the way Chinese and foreigners work together.
Absolutely.
It. Not so much that Chinese people need to take this over or anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the best place that it can possibly be is one with both foreign and local participants.
Yep.
And to have both of those things represented.
Exactly.
Your comment about dojo is interesting because I actually remember the first time that I saw you because I took a photograph of
did.
You. And it was such a brilliant photograph that I love. I mean, it sounds silly to call my own photograph brilliant. Your costume was brilliant. I should say that. And I was lucky enough to get a photograph of it.
Was that David Bowie or what?
I ended up looking like David Bowie. That wasn't the goal, but now like
that was not David
forward,
Bowie. That was
now,
like,
now that's my just go to.
That was like a
costume.
Spot on David Bowie, yeah. Like in my yeah. mind.
That was his, you know, standard Saturday night attire,
yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it?
That's what I wear out.
Way ahead of your time. But I remember that photograph, that Halloween party. That was 2014.
Yeah,
Halloween,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I had just come here. I moved here in like October.
And I met Devin for the first time ever in a taxi coming back from Doju, and even then, it took us maybe a year after that to actually then touch base again. But he was walking home with his mate, and I was in the taxi with my girlfriend coming back at about 4 a.m. And we saw these guys walking down the road, and I was like, should we pick them up? And I was like, nah, we'll just drive on. Screw these guys, you know. My girlfriend was like, no, stop. They might be going the same way.
Oh, was that and a fateful ride?
That was a
it
fateful
was.
Ride.
Yeah,
excellent.
We didn't realize it until later. Though.
Little did we know that, you know, when we actually met properly, I was like, shit, you're that guy in the taxi. Yeah.
Outstanding. So. You know, there's been a lot of kind of crazy connections which have happened at Dojo. You know, people have been proposed to there, couples who met there have been married. I met my girlfriend there. We've been together for 3 years.
Awesome.
A lot of interesting connections have happened there. So once you guys met in that taxi, how did you guys get started working on Toast City and these video projects? How did that come about?
I was living with a mate who Devin knew as well, and he just put me in contact and said, you know, this guy keeps bugging me, you know, he's looking to make movies, and I told him about you and stuff. And then we just met up, and, you know, we decided to go ahead and, you know, initially make something together, which was the e-bike video, I think,
yeah.
Which was one of the first. And, you know, looking back on it now, you know, I watch it and I'm going like, oh man, there's so much we could have changed or done differently. And but you know, for you know, that was our first thing. We did it kind of off the fly, see what would happen. And ever since, you know, he's been pestering me every other day, ringing me, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And so we just kept on going from there, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, well, before I met Harry, actually, I wasn't really into doing video stuff. I more did like writing and things like that. Like I've written a couple articles for Chengdu Living. But I went to Taiwan, actually. It was last year, last spring. And I have a few buddies there from the States that have a little production team, video production team. And they had some free time. So we filmed a couple things together and just made me realize like, wow, this is a really cool kind of complement to writing. Like you can tell stories through this medium. But I had no background in doing film. And it was good that I met up with Harry. Like Harry has a pretty diverse, pretty rich background in doing videos. I kind of just came to him with ideas, which don't mean much, but we worked well together, and I've been trying to get more into being able to help in the actual filming and the editing side, and I think we've been working better together since then.
Yep, it's a good relationship now, you know. We're like when Harry met Sally or whatever. Is that the movie term?
I think
that's it.
You want me to be Sally? My David Bowie costume?
I think that viewers might be able to feel that. I mean, I could certainly feel that through the video. I've known Devin for a while. Harry, I don't know you too well, but I can feel like it's a great partnership that you guys have for working on this. And I think that the Underground Vibes video is the best demonstration of that. And I remember actually the night when you guys showed it off, which was the Wang Fujing rooftop party. That was probably the best thing about that night, I think. And I actually hadn't even seen it. I mean, I could see it on this big screen, which they were showing it on. I couldn't hear really what was going on, but it looked great, and it just seemed like such an event for Chengdu's music scene. And it really kind of created this whole, you know, energy. Like, it's somehow our efforts are legitimized in another way by seeing someone else, you know, document it and do a good job doing that.
Absolutely. It makes the, you know, everybody, even the people who just turn up and get drunk and dance, you know, makes everybody just seem like a big family, you know, like we're all kind of united in this little piece of Chengdu or little piece of whatever, you know, which I think is really cool. You know, you look at the dojo footage and the pictures and stuff of, like, you know, I knew like so many people just popping up in that, and, you know, it's a really nice feeling just to have everybody in that scene included, you know.
Yeah, there have to be, what, like 50 people or something that are well-known, you know, Chengdu personalities who are kind of featured in the video through a lot of these photographs.
Absolutely.
I think that's exciting and interesting to
absolutely
to tell the story in that way. When you guys started making these videos, did you have any kind of specific objective that you wanted to achieve? Are these videos leading up to something, or what was kind of the motivator for you guys? Are you guys interested in, you know, making this into like a full-time job, or?
I mean,
I would love to do that. I remember the motivation kind of, at least for me at the beginning, and I think for Harry, was just mainly to show foreigners outside of China kind of some cool things that are going on in Chengdu right now, and Chengdu kind of represents China in a way. Maybe it's changed since then, but that was the motivation for just the e-bike video. Like, these are a thing that don't really exist in that many other countries in the world on this scale, and why not show people that have never been to China what it's about?
You know, there are a couple popular YouTube channels which I've seen which are kind of like what you describe. One is the Food Ranger. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah, I've seen his videos.
It's kind of this kooky personality who just like goes around to markets and things and talks to people in Chinese. But he has a lot of views and followers.
He's got a ton of views, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's clearly a demand for kind of on the street, first person look at what's going on in China, because I think that's not really a story or a perspective that's shared too much. You know, there's a lot of kind of misunderstanding and a little bit of secrecy around China.
Definitely. I mean, one thing that I always try to think about when coming up with video topics even now is, like, I mean, I've been in China on and off for 4 years now, and it's kind of weird to think back to 4 years ago. What did I think of China? Like, now all the weird, interesting stuff kind of just seems second nature or so natural to me that it's kind of tough to think, what would a person outside of China care about? What would they want to see?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, totally different train of thought now. And actually, China is probably more relaxed. Well, I consider it like more relaxed and chill than back home, you know. And
absolutely.
I come from a place where there's like a million people, you know, and here there's 14 million odd. So, you know, it's just trying to show that, you know, and get that across to people back home and show that it's not just like this big communist kind of regime. And there's a lot of cool people here doing cool things. And if anything, there's more happening here than, you know, my hometown. So let's just try and show that, you know.
Yeah, there's certainly the potential for, I mean, for something like Dojo to happen in the United States, you'd be taking enormous risk. I mean, it almost couldn't really happen because, you know, you couldn't really rent a house and just have it just be for what Dojo was, which was just for an event once every month. No one actually lived in that house. Just the economics of that arrangement wouldn't be possible in many places. I mean, you know, even Shanghai or Beijing, you know, let alone
definitely not
in the West, like the United States or in the UK. And that's a really unique opportunity that we have, you know?
Yep.
So before you guys produced this video, I'm sure you had some of your own ideas about the underground music scene here. Did those change at all through the process of making this and talking to all these people?
Yeah, I would say they changed a little bit. I mean, I just knew the underground scene kind of from like going out and things like that. Obviously, you have the Poly Center, which a lot of people in Chengdu will know about when we showcase in the video. We definitely wanted to include Dojo, but it was cool to actually kind of sit down with everybody from these different countries and talk to them about how they've seen the scene develop. Even someone like Tuan or someone like Margus, people that have been here for 3 or 4 years, they talked about like, wow, since I've been here, it's really changed. And I was actually reading on Chengdu Living the other day your interview with Tuan when they first opened TAG.
Yeah.
Not that long ago, right?
It's crazy how much things have changed.
Yeah. I mean, you've been here a good amount of time, and I've been here about 2 years now, so I kind of missed even some of that. But in the last 3 or 4 years, it seems like there's been a lot of change and development. Some good, some bad, but definitely changing.
Yeah, well, that interview with Tuan, that was published, I think, in 2011, maybe? Mm-hmm. And that was right before TAG opened.
Yeah.
And that was kind of right before the Poly Center became a destination. I think a year before that, it was still under construction. So, but that interview was, I mean, I haven't read it in years, but I remember being very hopeful, you know, and very much about, you know, TAG is this European-style techno club, and it was kind of being managed and designed by Tuan and Marco, who are two Dutch, you know, kind of veterans of the music scene. And yeah, what's changed since then? I mean, talking to Tuan recently, producing this video, and then that interview, do you notice any change in Tuan's perspective or anything like that?
Yeah, a little bit. We talked to him a couple times, like even before the video. And I mean, the overall thing was just that it's grown. It's grown in the amount of venues, in the amount of people that are interested, but also the amount of people doing it. Like there's a lot more people that are trying to DJ nowadays. And for me, honestly, like when I go out, I appreciate the music and stuff like that, but I like the atmosphere more. Like if the place is fun, I'm not really paying that much attention to the music. I'm just having a good time. So that's a little bit more what I'm focused on. But
you know, I get the feeling that most people are like that. Yeah. I get the feeling that most people are just there to have fun, and the music is not an issue unless it's so bad it's an issue.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's good music should be, you know. You shouldn't notice it. It's like me editing, you know. A good edit is you shouldn't notice it happening. It should just make you feel a certain way, you know.
You know, one comment about music tastes in the documentary, which I thought was really cool, was Bashir's. When Bashir said the first, I think he was describing the first time he came to Dojo.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he walked inside and he didn't like the music. And he said, oh, this is kind of like not really my thing. And then a couple hours later, he heard like his favorite song. And then he was like, okay, now I get it. It's
it
like
for everyone.
For everybody. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
That was my
it.
Favorite quote of the whole video.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, for us, I think I speak for, you know, a group of about a dozen people who were involved in doing Dojo. I think all of us kind of wanted it to be that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the people involved were not like me. I've been DJing for 17 years. And so I've promoted, you know, many events in Chengdu, and I've DJed all around the country. But most of the people in the group are not like me. A lot of them don't, you know, go to clubs. They don't listen to the same type of music as I do. And a lot of them are from all kinds of different places. You know, they're not just from Europe or from America. And I think that that unison of people from different backgrounds was really important in, you know, making it so diverse.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I think just going back to the very beginning, at least for me, that was the main motivation for doing the video, is just having all those different kind of people from different countries coming together and making this scene something really cool.
So how long did you guys take to produce this video? What's involved behind the scenes?
It was made quite quick in the end, because that walk on air, the Wang Fujing rooftop party, Tuan said, you know, let's show it there. And I went on holidays for a few weeks, so the edit and stuff was quite rushed in the end. But, you know, even after we showed it there, we had to go back and make some changes. And, you know, like a big thing when we showed it at that event was the speakers ended up being a bit crap. So, you know, one thing I was like gutted about was that we didn't put subtitles in that one, because that was the one you needed subtitles in.
Yeah. Right.
But now we've got it in the video we've released online, you know. So, you know, there's a few issues like that, but on the whole, it was actually filmed quite quick. You know, I think it was Devin's organizational skills, to be honest, just had like everybody, and you know, around the same area, but different places in one night. We managed to bash out quite a lot of interviews and things like that. And then we obviously did like Strawberry Festival at a different time. But it was nice to film, and for me it was a bit of a lesson going to the Poly Center sober. You know, it's never happened before.
Right.
So it was actually quite cool to talk to a few people and like hear what the DJs had to say, listen to a bit of their music, and nice and stress free work. You know, just have a few beers and chill out. So yeah, it was fun, man. Really, really, really enjoyed making it. You know.
Yeah. I think the actual filming took maybe we went 3 or 4 days, not even the full day filming it. Like one thing that I've been noticing, because like I said, I come from a background doing no film stuff. I've been trying to get better at editing, kind of just to help Harry out and stuff.
Which he's been doing awesome at. He edited a lot of this DJ one. And when I first met Devin, he hadn't done much of that before. So he's really came on leaps and bounds in that aspect.
Yeah, but the thing I've realized about that and just doing video production in general is how much time you put into it. Like, probably spent 24 solid hours on doing the edit. And, like, a lot of people you'll meet anywhere, not just in Chengdu. They're like, oh, let's make videos. Like, I know you guys have made videos that have this cool idea. That's how I was at the beginning. Now I've come to realize really how much work goes into making something look decent. Sound, getting decent shots, doing the editing, color correcting, all of these different things to make something...
Yeah,
look halfway decent. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Was it a difficult process to edit this video down? So you finished with about 17 minutes of footage, is that right?
Yeah.
How difficult, I should say, was the editing process? Were there a lot of things that you thought were really good which were left on the cutting room floor? Or when you're filming things, do you just get, a couple sentences and you feel like, this is exactly what I wanted, I got it?
It's very difficult, actually, to determine what you want in a film. Like, a lot of times you film way too much. And you actually get a lot of good content, but nobody wants to watch a 20-minute video all the time. We felt we made this one a bit longer because it included, the Poly Center, Strawberry Festival, and Dojo. So it was kind of like 3 videos in 1, essentially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry, I've lost my train of thought there.
You made it a little bit longer for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, a lot of footage or...
Yeah, we had a pretty good amount. And it's always tough. One thing that we tried to do with this, and we maybe didn't even do it perfect, was to kind of ask everybody the same questions, and if they're even like going off on tangents about different things when you're interviewing them, kind of get them back on track. Because one thing I've noticed just doing a film where you're interviewing a lot of people, you want them to talk about what they feel and what they care about, but you kind of need them to stay on a certain track. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of things that they talk about that don't make sense for the narrative of the video. And if you watch the video, there's a lot of quick cuts. And that was kind of my plan from the beginning, is that we could piece together different things that people use to make a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We left a lot out. I kind of just had to keep the things that related to each other.
Yeah. I mean, one good thing about this video was that it had direction from the start. A lot of times we turn up to film something and maybe we're still a little bit unsure of kind of what the end goal is because, we're still trying to figure things out for ourselves and who our audience is. But this one kind of felt initially that it had direction. This is what we want from these people. We want, this similar questions and, the same kind of outcome, or to hear what they actually feel about it. So this one actually kind of worked a lot smoother and was, relatively easy for the size of the project. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
One thing I noticed in particular was great about this video, which wasn't in the previous videos, which was that you guys had drone footage in this one. What's up with that? Do you guys have a new drone?
Harry got a drone.
How big of a component is having a drone to your filming projects? Because it seemed like such a cool thing to include.
Yeah, honestly, I don't want to like dominate my videos with just drone footage, because although I could watch drone footage for days, it is beautiful and sexy. I think it just complements a video well. Just for an initial shot to show you where you are, or the location. So purely, I'm just, as I say, trying to better myself, at TV, at film and all this. So I think it was a necessary component to have, especially in a place like this where you've amazing skyscrapers and buildings and,
Pretty much, am I right in saying that you can pretty much go anywhere with a drone in Chengdu? Are there any kind of restrictions of any type?
Yeah, there... you get a lot of interference sometimes, like signal interference. So I actually don't know why. I was filming today and I had a lot of interference. I think it's maybe like buildings, or especially in the center near Tianfu and stuff. I don't know if they have maybe some sort of you know, jammer signal or something going on. Yeah.
Technology, yeah.
So things like that you do have to take in consideration, you know, but the best way to do it is just fly the thing, see what happens, you know.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, you just brought up the point that, like, you can kind of take the drone anywhere in Chengdu for the most part. One thing that Harry and I have talked about a lot before, and we touched on it briefly, is just, like, one of the things we love about filming in China is you can really go so many places, kind of go anywhere with unrestricted access.
Yeah, you made a big point of that yeah. in the e-bikes video.
Yeah, it's just,
what's that freedom like? That must be just so great, right?
It's amazing. Like, I was filming today, and sometimes it's a little bit annoying. I had maybe, you know, 30-odd people standing around me today just as I was filming, you know, trying to lean over and see what shot I'm taking and all this, you know, which is fair enough. I'm happy enough to show people. But, you know, if you're trying to work, it's a little bit frustrating. But if it were back home, you know, if you were to film anywhere, somebody would be asking you what you're doing, have you permission, etc. You know, there's sure. a lot of red tape. So here you can, especially, I think, being a foreigner, you know, you can get away with a lot more. You just, ting bedong, you know, and just go for it, man.
Right. That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's a bit, ignorant, but, you know, it's if you're filming, man, you got to be ignorant. That's how you get the shots.
You know, can't argue with the results, though. I mean, exactly. the Ting Budong routine really, really does work. That's proven efficacy.
Still a go-to for me, yeah.
So now that you guys have completed this project, what is on the horizon for you guys? Do you have another project which you're working on? If so, can you talk about that? If not, do you have any idea for where you want to go next?
Well, we're working on just like a little promo video for a couple buddies of ours right now. For their Chinese classes. But in terms of the videos that we want to do, I think now it's kind of at a point where Harry and I both need to sit down and think about, do we want to involve some other people in this? What direction do we want to go in? Like, we have a few ideas about still more documentary style stuff to do. But this video was kind of one that we both feel like we put a lot of effort, we put a lot of time into. It's definitely the best one that we've done. So we want to keep making stuff not only at this level, but this interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at this stage, it's important for us to basically keep the standards high and to keep aiming bigger and bigger. So, you know, whether we're filming a video a week or a video a month, you know, it's more about actually trying to get the good locations, get the good stories, get, you know, try and basically treat it like more of a serious TV operation than just a guy and his camera, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, really push yourselves to see if we can achieve those kind of cutting edge results that, you know, a lot of the big TV firms are doing, which I think is achievable. You know, we just got to kind of put our minds to it and maybe reach out to a few people, get some help along the way, which is easy here. You know, we're in the right place to do that.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, that's a big thing. Just meeting people in Chengdu, and the more we do of this film work, the more people that you meet and you kind of get put in touch with people that can help you make videos. And most people, especially Chinese people we've talked to, have been very helpful, very interested in working with us. Like one video which we filmed before this one, but we haven't even released yet, is about craft beer in Chengdu.
Oh, good.
With
Hugo.
Yeah. Not Hugo. We did it with Geezer.
Geezer, yes.
Yeah,
Geezer,
who's a Chinese guy who's a brewer out here, and we went out to his brewery, just talked to him a little bit. Yeah, that was more just like a conversation with him and checking out his brewery. But I got put in touch with him through some random guy I was talking to one day. And
he's a great guy. He's a DJ, too. Used
yeah.
to be a DJ.
He is, yeah. But I mean, it's crazy for such a big city, like how tightly knit these kind of communities are. And you meet people through people. And
again, you can get that access as well. You know, it's like you just text somebody and it's like, yeah, come to my brewery. And, you know, the guy was feeding us free beers, giving us t-shirts and, you know, super cool dude.
Absolutely.
You
yeah,
know?
That's
and
so
you,
nice.
You can't get that back home. You know, you have to be somebody important to get that back home.
You Absolutely. Know? You know, even in Shanghai or Beijing, like contacting friends when I go to visit there, you know, a lot of them are like, oh, I got plans, you know, oh, I'm free on Tuesday from 6 to 6:30. Everyone's so busy, you know. Yeah. Chengdu has a really unique personable quality, you know. A lot of people are willing to just welcome you in. Yeah. You know, introduce you to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes Chengdu special for me. Like, when I moved here, I'd been in China for 2 years already, and I picked Chengdu. Like, I'd been to Shanghai. I'd never been to Beijing, but I'd been to Shanghai. I've been to a bunch of other cities in China, and for me, this one stood out as a place that was really cool. Like, Shanghai is a very commercialized city. It's very much trying to be New York City, and I don't think it's as cool as Chengdu, to be honest.
No, there's something kind of a lot more rural about here. I say that word lightly because it is a massive city, but
yeah, it's kind of the heartland.
Kind of feels a lot more traditional, kind of Chinese, but with some kind of cool influence from, you know, the Western world, but not too much. You know, it's like when you go to Hong Kong or Shanghai or something, it's too much. It's not authentic China, you know, where you still get elements of that here.
You know, Chengdu's filled with surprises.
Yeah.
And I think the underground music scene is a good example of a surprise that a lot of people wouldn't know about. They wouldn't hear about, they wouldn't read about, they wouldn't really have any way of discovering unless they came here and they stumbled upon it themselves or someone makes a video about it.
Like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hope this video helps. Like, that's the thing. We really want to get it out there and get a lot of people to see it. So when people come to Chengdu, they can kind of understand that this is what I should be seeking out. I shouldn't just be going to like Jinli or whatever, the Panda Base, these tourist spots. I should try to check out the underground scene, and hopefully it can stay kind of in that balance between commercial and completely unknown. Because I've noticed the music scene here becoming, in a lot of aspects, more commercialized.
Yeah, so actually I had a question which I was interested in asking you, which was about the title and about the underground distinction in particular.
It's overground, isn't it? It's all upstairs.
Well, what drove you guys to underground music in Chengdu in particular? And how do you differentiate between the music scene and the underground music scene?
I think what kind of drove us to this was we talked about making just one about music in general, and we were like, that's going to be too big. Like, combining bands and DJs is just not going to work. So we sort of, I think at the beginning, wanted to focus on maybe just even the party scene, which is not very commercialized, in my opinion, or at least in the last couple of years it wasn't. And through that, we kind of got to underground music, because a lot of the DJs that play at these parties or organize things like Dojo, like the Wang Fujing Rooftop, they're more into alternative styles of electronic music. And then it kind of came from that.
Yeah, and it's night and day from what's commercial here and what's not commercial. You know, back home, it's kind of a lot harder to define, you know, what's cool, what's not, what's commercial. But here, it's, you know, if you go to a bar and you're given free vodka all night because you're a foreigner, then you're in the wrong place.
Unless you're literally under the ground.
You're really in the wrong place. Yeah, so yeah, that's one of the unspoken rules, I think, of nightlife in China. If you're a foreigner and you're being given drinks for free, there's something not legitimate about that. Kind of like I have another rule, my own personal rule with Chinese restaurants. If they have cloth napkins, then I usually don't want to be there.
I don't even know if I've ever seen
why,
that.
Why is that? Why
do you... Because they're the restaurants which are trying to be fancy.
Okay.
And that focus on fanciness has a detracting element on the quality of the food.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of the opposite of like fly restaurants, Sichuan is famous for, and those places, they don't care at all about how anything looks. You know, they don't care about appearance at all. All the focus is on the food and the culture of the food.
That's true.
And those are the places you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah,
I totally agree too.
I mean, well, to be honest, though, talking about like the commercial side of the music scene here, when it comes to electronic music and also rock music, I do think it's good that Chengdu is bringing in some either bigger artists or bigger DJs. I think it's good in a way for the city. I hope it can keep both aspects, keep like the underground scene and keep the commercial thing, because like Chengdu's gonna grow. It's a very big city. It's gonna grow more and more westernized. But if it can keep both those aspects balanced, it can still stay really cool.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about Toast City Productions and how people can find more information about you guys, and where do people find your videos?
Yeah, well, you can check out toastcityproductions.com. We have YouTube, Vimeo, and all that other stuff. As I said earlier, basically Toast City, that's like whenever I was back home in Northern Ireland, that was kind of, you know, it wasn't very serious then because I had no money and was broke and trying to, you know, just make a living like everybody else. So that's been with me for ages, and I've just constantly kept putting my work up there. But now, kind of with Devin getting on board, you know, we're putting a lot more work up and kind of taking it a little bit more seriously too. But then we're thinking about something new too, because basically, you know, Two Cities my thing. Because I'm doing a lot of stuff with Devin now, you know, we feel that, you know, he needs to be represented too. So, you know, we're thinking maybe in the future about kind of having a couple of things happening, you know, different people involved in different things. So we'll see where that goes. But for the minute, we're working under Two City, and you can find us, as I say, twocityproductions.com.
Great. Do you guys have a WeChat account or anything? Where do people in China find you? Youku?
Yeah, you can find us on Youku, but I mean,
our personal WeChats.
Yeah, we've got our personal WeChats.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask anybody and I'm sure you'll find a way to get in touch with us.
Great.
Ask Chengdu Living, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Get through there, yeah.
Do you guys have any last thoughts or anything you would like to communicate either about this video or about your work doing video in Chengdu or anything else?
I guess one thing I would say, I mean, if people are listening to this podcast and commenting on it, we're always open to ideas and stuff. I think the thing for us, like I said, especially being in China for a long time, we have certain things that we want to show about China, but there's definitely things we overlook that might be really cool to do.
That's it. And we don't want to be subjective with anything, you know, to just our opinion or, you know, we don't want to kind of, you know, we're trying to do this because, you know, we love Chengdu and we're trying to show the good things about Chengdu. So we want to include as many different personalities or stories or ideas as possible. So if somebody has a serious, like, legitimate idea, like, we're always down to listen to you, meet up with you and see, you know. Yeah, we just want to do creative stuff, you know, and that's basically what it comes down to. So anybody who's interested, you know, get in touch.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on this podcast.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for making this video and doing such a great job.
Thank you for helping with the video.
Yeah, thanks for
I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone that you guys spoke to in order to make this project happen. It's a great thing for Chengdu. It's a great thing for all the musicians here. And it's just all around wonderful. So thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Right on. Yeah.
Cheers. Thank you.